Today's here in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samach Zayin. We are learning today Leilui Nishmas Chazon Shmuel Hecht, Shmuel Yosef Ben Ruvain. He's the father-in-law of one of our regular listeners for the Daf, Steve Klubnicki from the Shul. All the Nishmas we learn for, she get an Aliyah from our learning. Now, we also continue to learn, of course, for the Chayalei Tzva, Haganah Yisrael, the Kochas of Bitachon, everybody who's putting themselves online for our safety and our benefit. Hashem should watch over them. They should all have a refuah shleima. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim, b'mheira, in good health. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer al Kol Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on Samach Zayin Omen Aleph, 5 lines from the top. At the end of yesterday's year, we brought down a statement from Rav Zeira, who had said that a shinoi that is chozeh lebriyoso, so in that situation, that's not called a shinoi. So if you had something that was originally, let's say, a piece of wood, and you made it into a chair, but since you could bring it back to a piece of wood by dismantling the chair, so Rav Zeira had said, that's not called a shinoi. The Gemara now starts off today, again, 5 lines on the top, Samach Zayin Omen Aleph, but what about the opposite? V'shinoi Hashem she'eno chozeh lebriyoso, mi havi shinoi. The implication from Zeira was that if it is reversible, then it's not a shinoi. But the implication is that if it's not reversible, shinoi Hashem she'eno chozeh lebriyoso, so that is a shinoi. And the Gemara questions this now. It says, is that really a shinoi? After all, I'll show you from the following case that it's not a shinoi, even though it doesn't go back to its original condition. Fahari tzinor. A tzinor is a pipe, and here we're talking about a pipe that's made from a piece of wood. So you have originally a piece of wood that you again go and take, and you hollow it out to make it into a pipe. The pipe is not necessarily surrounded on all the sides. It's just basically like a semicircle that allows water to go and pass through it. So in this situation, you have this tzinor, this pipe, the meikara kitzitzta. Originally, it's called kitzitzta. Rashi tells us, shekodim shechakoko, before you hollowed it out, nikra kitzitzas eitz bi'alma. It's a shtick wood. It's a piece of wood. It's a block of wood. And now you have basically made it into a semicircle. You've hollowed out, you cut off, let's say, half of it. You have a semicircle that you've now hollowed out to make it into a pipe. V'hashto tzinor. Now it's a pipe. Now, what is the halacha with this pipe in terms of a mikvah, in terms of mayim shuvim? So we have to remind ourselves, the din is that a mikvah has to be water that was naturally filled. You can't go and bring shuvim, drawn water, into the mikvah. If you do, that mikvah is not going to be kosher if it isn't already a kosher mikvah. Once you have a kosher mikvah, you can pour in all the mayim shuvim that you want, technically, at least in theory, and it will remain a kosher mikvah. But if you don't have yet a kosher mikvah, you don't have 40 saw, so then you can't complete it by pouring in water. If you, in fact, pour in more than 3 lugin, so then you will passel this mikvah for all time. Now, the Gemara is telling us, Tanya, we learned in the following braisa, tzinor shechakoko ulebasov kivo. If you had this piece of wood that you hollowed out, so you now have a semicircle piece of wood that's like a pipe, and now you insert it into the ground. So this is a kli originally, and now you insert it into the ground. Now it's mechubel lekarka. Something that's mechubel lekarka normally would not be mayim shuvim. Nevertheless, this braisa tells us posel es hamikvah. This will in fact make this water going into the mikvah possible. If you didn't have a kosher mikvah yet, now you're pouring 3 lugim into this, let's say, 25 saw of water that is not shuvim, that would have been good mikvah water. You just need to add 15 more saw of kosher mikvah water. If in this situation you now brought in 3 lugin, so that is going to be posseling this mikvah. Posel es hamikvah. However, kivo, if you first put this piece of wood into the ground without hollowing it out, and then in the ground you hollow it out, so now it's never a kli beforehand, it's kava into the ground as a piece of wood, and now you turn it into a kli while it's attached to the ground. So now in this situation, eight apostles of mikvah. This water that comes in there is considered naturally flowing rainwater that comes into this mikvah, and it's not going to be mayim she'uvim. Now, here's the question. If you're telling me the Amris, Shinui Hashem Milsi, if you're telling me that if you change something from its status, like Rav Zeira had said, if you go and change something from its status in a change that is irreversible, so then it is considered a shinoi. But if this is considered a shinoi, so then afilu kivo ulbasol chakoko, even you first put it into the ground and only afterwards you hollowed it out, namili paso, then it should also be called the kli. And therefore, if it's a kli, it should be no good. It should be mayim shuvim. So how come this is allowed? That's the question. Shmuel says, because different over here, shiny, here it's different. She'iva dimirabbanihi. This din, that you're not allowed to go and add 3 lugim of water to a not yet 40 saw mikvah, and that will possel it, The simple understanding over here is that that is only a din derabbanan. There's a lot of machlokas amongst the poskim over here. What does it mean exactly when it says she'iva derabbanan here? There's one sheet that it actually says that the whole concept of mayim shuvim is only a din derabbanan. Midaraisa, you could fill up a mikvah with 40 saw of poured water, of drawn water, and that would be fine. The simple understanding over here, however, is that that's not the case. That would still be a psul daraisa. But the psul of adding three lugim to a not yet kosher mikvah that passes it, that is a din derabbanan. So that's what we say over here, shiny shiva din derabbanan he. Where it says, if that's so, ihachi, wait a second, afilu dereshanami. So then, if this is only a din derabbanan, and we're makel over here because it's a din derabbanan, why are we only makel in the same for this brisa? In the situation of kivo ulbeso chakoko, you should be makel in the reish as well, where you had a tzinor shechakoko, at first you made it into a kli, ulbeso kivo, that should also be, it's a din derabbanan, why aren't we makel in that situation as well? So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference, and I've already alluded to it. Hasam, in the first part of the brisa, Ika Torah's Kli Olav Betolus. It already had the shame of a Kli on it before you inserted it into the ground. You had taken this piece of wood, hollowed it out. It now is called the Kli, and now you insert it into the ground. So even though we're Mako by this Din Derabbanan, that's only if it wasn't yet a Kli. But once it's a Kli, the Isser of Mayim Shuvim takes effect already. You can't undo that Isser that's already there. As opposed to in the second part of the Braisa, Hacha, Ein Torah's Kli Olav Betolush. It doesn't yet have the shame of a Kli. It was just a piece of wood. It was a solid piece of wood. And that's not Mekabel Tumah. That's not a Kli. And therefore, that isn't considered Shuvim at that point in time. And now, when you put that piece of wood in the ground, and now a Chakoko, so you're only making it into a Kli when it's already in the ground. So therefore, you're not removing an Issa that's already there. You're just not allowing the Issa of Shuvim to be created, Midirabbanan. And that's why there's a difference between the Reish and the Sefer, and everything works out. Now Gemara says, Meisvei, if you remember from yesterday's shir, we had the opinion of Yosef. He says that Yeush never makes a kinyan. We had the opinion of Rabbah that said either on a deraisa or maybe on a derabbanan level, it does make a kinyan. So here we're going to question again Rav Yosef's din that he says that Yeush, despairing, saying, I absolutely have given up hope of ever getting this item back, that will go and create a kinyan on the part of the person who now acquires it. So, Haganov v'hagazlon v'ho'anos. If you have a person who steals surreptitiously, he steals at night, or the gazlon who steals right in your face, he goes and grabs the subject from the item from you. V'anos, and anos Rashi tells us, is a chamson, that Yohav Dabi, he pays for it, but you didn't want to sell it. But he says, I'm taking this anyway, here's the $10 for it. So all of these people, if they, in fact, make this item that they just stole hektish, hekteshon is in fact hektish, the Braisa says. Or if they took off trumas and maises from it, utrumasan is truma. It is real truma. And as Rashi says, also lazarim, this has the real status of truma. Or maso sei maisa, or they made it into maisa rishon, maisa sheni, it does have the status. Now Rashi says over here, in this situation, alma kini le ligzela b'yeish. You clearly see from here that they acquired it, that's why they're able to be makdish, that's why they think of trumas and maisas. So therefore, there is a kinyan with Yeush. So therefore, this is a kasha on Rav Yosef. He says there's no kinyan with Yeush. So Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. Amri, in this situation, the reason why a kinyan is made by this ganav, gazlun, or anos is because hosom ika shinui hashem. They've changed its name. And as we pointed out yesterday, even if you hold that Yeush is not kini, there is a din that shinui hashem is able to be coded. The meyakari, in these situations, it was called tevel. Before you two have trumas and maises, it was tevel. Bahash to truma, now it's truma and maiser. Or it originally was chulin, and now you made it hektish. So in regards to hektish, meikara chulin. It was originally chulin, and now they were makdish it, v'hashta hektish. So therefore, this is the shinui Hashem, but not the yeyush. Mora says, Amar chist, Amar yonason, chist, Amar yonason, minayin l'shinu yishu konet. Now, we had said previously, everybody agrees, there was no argument on that. The only argument between Rabbah and Rav Yosef was on the din of Yeyush, but on the din of Shinu, if you made a physical change in the item, everybody agreed that the person who made the change is konet. So Rav Chist, Amar yonason says, minayin l'shinu yishu konet. How do we know this? So, we had this pasuk previously, shenemar, v'heshiv esak zeila, and then it said the extra words, asher gozal. So, once you have to return the gzeila, of course you're returning the item that was stolen. Why did it tell us asher gozal? Matamuloma asher gozal. So we had explained. Im ke'ein shegozal. If it's the exact same way as it was when you stole it, so then there is a din of the heishes and gzeila. You have to bring the exact item back. yachzar. You have to bring that item back. However, v'im lav, if there was a change in it, a shinoi, a maisa that was done to it, so domim bi'alma b'ayir shalume, then you only have to pay the value of the item that you stole at the time that you stole it, and not the exact item. So you stole the wool, and now you made it into a sweater, so you only have to return the value of the wool, you don't have to return the sweater. So everybody agrees, based upon the pasuk, v'yishis ha'gzeilo, Asher Gozal is extra, teaching us that it has to be exactly the way it was when you stole it. If you made a shino in it, then you don't have to go and return it. Gemara questions this. Gemara says, "Hi, Asher Gozal, this extra words, Asher Gozal, you're telling me we need it to teach us this din, that it has to be Kain Sher Gozal and not with a shinoi? We need that extra words, Asher Gozal, mi boya, we need it, li mi ute gezel ovid. We need this to teach us the din, that if a person stole something and then he passes away, so he had sworn falsely that he didn't steal it, so he would be chayiv if the father was alive, if the person who the inheritors are getting this item from, if he had been alive, he had sworn falsely, so he'd have to pay back the principal, the keren, he'd have to pay a chomesh, the fourth, which is really a fifth from the outside, and he'd also have to bring an asham. So in this situation, the children, the inheritors, don't have to bring that. And we learned that out from Asher Gozal. Only the one who stole has to go and pay the chamishis olav. She'eino mosiv chomish agezel ovid. It says Asher Gozal, only the one that stole it. So I need the words Asher Gozal to teach us this din. They're not free to teach us this din that a shinoi can, in fact, make an acquisition. So I says, no, it can do both. Because im kain, if you just wanted to teach us this din, she'eino mosiv chomish agezel ovid, then nichtov rachmona veheshiv es gizelo. The word gizelo would be enough to teach us that only the person who stole it has to go and pay the fifth and not the relatives who inherit him. So therefore, it could have just said, Veshiv ez gzeilo. Why did it say, Asher gozal, an extra word, lomali lemichtav? Oh, shmami notarti. This allows us to learn both of the dinim. Yes, that you don't pay the fifth if you're the inheritor, and you can also learn out the other din, Asher gozal, means if it wasn't with a shino, imkein shegozal. But if not, domen bi alma boy shlume. Okay, you can learn both out. Now, this is the way we learned it somewhat in yesterday's shir, and we added on a little bit more now. But now we have a new idea that we're learning it in the exact opposite way. We're using this pasuk Asher Gozal to teach us the exact opposite din. The Ikad the Amre, there are those that learn this in the following manner. Amar Rav Chis, Amar Rav Yonasan, the Rav Chis said in Rav Yonasan, Minayin Lashinoi She'eino Kona. Here we're introducing the sheet that it says that you're actually not Kona if you make a shinui on the item. And it's from this pasuk, Shenemar v'heishev esagzeila, which implies mikol makom. No matter what state the gzeila in, even though the wool is now in a sweater, you got to return the sweater. If the brick was put into the building, you got to go and return the brick, at least on a derais level. Nu, midirabbanan, the rabbis had the takanas morish that we spoke about yesterday to encourage people to do tshuva. But on a derais level, you have to return the entire object if it's still there, even though it's in a changed state. So where he asks the obvious question, then why does it say the extra words, Asher Gozal, according to this? Fakasir Asher Gozal. So here, how mi bayale, this comes to teach us the din that we just said you could learn out of it. It said, gizelo. Here, they don't hold like that. Here, it's how mi bayale, au gizelo shalo, mosiv chomish. If you yourself stole, then you have to pay the fifth if you swore falsely. But your inheritors, ein mosiv chomish al gezel ovid, the inheritors don't pay the extra fifth. They just have to return the item, but they don't have to pay the extra fifth. So this is a totally different way of looking at that pasuk. Now the Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Ula, Ula tells us, Minayin li Yeyush eino koneh. How do we know that Yeyush is not koneh? That even though the owners have given up hope of getting it back, the Gadna doesn't acquire it. How do we know that? Now here we bring down a pasuk from Malachi, Shinemar. The pasuk says, Vaveisim gozul. Now there should be a vav over here. They just left out the vav. Vaveisim gozul v'es hapiseach v'es achole. What is this pasuk telling us? That gozul dumya depiseach. By having this hekesh in the pasuk that you're bringing, the Malachi tells the Yidden that you're bringing things that you stole, that you're bringing things that are lame, you're bringing things that are sick. That's the type of korbanos that you want to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not proper. So you wouldn't bring this to your officer. So therefore, you wouldn't certainly want to bring this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a hekesh in the pasuk. It compares piseach and gozel. Ma piseach de les le takon to klal. Here we're talking about a type of piseach, a person who's lame, that is a permanent mum. It's a blemish that is permanent, and you can't bring such an animal ever as a korban. As Rashi says in the Gemara in Sukkah, Li'achar zman, you can't bring it later on. Lakrivo shari mum kavua olam isu. This mum is a permanent mum, and therefore this animal will never be eligible to be a carbon. So just like this animal that's a piseach is ineligible to be a carbon, so too, when we turn to samach zayin omud beis, so too, af gozul deles le'takanta, that under no circumstances is something that is stolen ever able to be brought as a carbon. And this is the drasha, that it certainly can't be brought before yesh, but it can't even be brought after yesh because of the comparison, the hekish, to the piseach. So this is the source that we have from Ula. Rava Amar, Rava gives us another source. He says, Mehocha, you learn it out from the following. In this drasha we had yesterday, Korbono v'lo hagozul. The pasuk tells us, so it has to be your carbon, below hagozel, and not a carbon that was stolen. When was it stolen? Amos, you're telling me, it was stolen before Yeyosh. So pshita, of course, obvious. Why would he need a positive to tell me that I can't be mocked to something that's not mine? Elo, mustn't it be? Elo, lovely, acha Yeyosh. The pasuk is telling us that it's not called korbano even after Yeyosh. Oh, Ushmamina, Yeyosh Lakani, Shmamina. So this is the raya that Rava brought down yesterday, and we have it again today, that Yeyosh is not kone. But the Gemara questions, and all of you should be jumping at this, if you remember from yesterday's shir, we then answered this kasha of Rava. The Gemara said, Rava himself, but Rava who the Omar, the Gozal Korban de Chavre. Rava said, no, this is not the right way to learn it. Rava himself had said that we're dealing here with a person who made the item into a carbon, and then you stole that item that was a carbon. So you can't bring it, and if you bring it, it doesn't count for your friend. So Rava himself had schlugged up the own thing that he says over here. So how could that possibly be that we're now saying it again? So Gemara gives us two terutzim. Number one, Ibai Seima, Hadabe, Rava retracted. Rava changed his mind, and he said, Taka, what I said yesterday, I don't agree with. And now, this is the final answer. When it says Karbano, it means V'lo HaGozel, and therefore Yeyush is not Kni, which he retracted from his schlugging that up yesterday. Now, Rava says he retracts his schlugging it up and he leaves it the way it originally was. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Ibai Yisema, Chad Minayira Papa Amra, that one of these two statements, either the statement from yesterday or the statement from today that we had in the name of Rava, it really was one of them was attributed to Rav Papa. Now, why would we say that? So there's a very interesting Tosus over here. In Dibra Maskul, Rava Omar Mehocha Karbino V'lo Agazul. So read the Tosus with me. Rava Garcina V'lo Rabba. If you remember yesterday, we had that this was originally a statement that Rabba was making to support his Shita against Rav Yosef. Rabba was the one that said that Yeyush does in fact kone either on a deraisa or a rabbanan level, and Rav Yosef said no. And we had said that Rabba, he was the one that was really asking on the Shita of Rav Yosef, but some had the girsa their Rava, the low Rabba. So Tosa says now that girsa of Rava is correct, and we can understand why. Midikomar chad minayra papa omar, that we're now saying either the statement yesterday of Rava, not Rabba, Rava was either Rav Papa, or today's statement is Rav Papa. The lawyer told him, and it wasn't a mistake. Ella bein Rav Papa li Rava shahu Rabo upam shah omer Rav Papa dvarim bistam hayu sovrim shedivrei Rava hein. That the Talmidim made the mistake over here, and they attributed something that Rav Papa said to Rava. Since Rav Papa was a Talmid of Rava, not a Talmid of Rabba, Rabba was a generation earlier. So Rav Papa was a Talmid of Rava, and he would say over many, many things in the name of Rava. So one time he said over something, the Talmidim thought it was in the name of Rava, and that's why it's attributed to Rava. But in fact, this time it was a statement only of Rav Papa, not from his Rebbe. Abu Bain Divrei Rav Papa, the Divrei Rabba, lo yechol litos. That they could never make a mistake, because Rabba was the generation previously, and the Talmidim would never say that Rav Papa said something without attributing it to Rabba, and say that, oh, it was Rabba that said it. Rabba, yeah, but not Rabba. And that's why Tosus explains why we had earlier, a couple of times, we had the Girsa, was it Rabba or was it Rabba? So this helps explain what the issue is. Okay. These are the two terutzim that we have over here for how do we know that Yeyush is not Kini. Now, Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah and said, Umidas tashlumi arba v'chamisha v'chulei. We said in the Mishnah that if you steal a ox, a shor, or a sheep or a goat, which is a seh, so then you have to pay dalav v'hei if you did tvicha or mechira, tovach or machar. If you shechted it or sold it, then there's an additional penalty besides the kefil, a total penalty of 4 or 5. Four for the sheep or the goat, because you have to carry it. So the Torah was chas on a person that he had to do some heavy lifting because these animals are smaller. Sometimes they need to be carried. So therefore, you only pay 4 times if you shechted or sold it, whereas the ox, which carries itself, so therefore, you pay 5 times. Now, Gemara says, why? Why is this a din only in a shor or a seh? V'amai, why don't we learn that? If you remember, a couple of days ago, we had, how do we know that the dinim of kefil apply to all animals and even inanimate things? So we had darshened it out. And one of the ways we darshened it out was nelev shor, shor, mi Shabbos. We had Xavier Shor, it says shor in regards to Shabbos, and it says shor in regards to kefil. So just like we learned out there, Malahalan Chayov Ov Kayotzibahem, there in regards to Shabbos, all the dinim of, you're not allowed to work your animal, you're not allowed to have the animal do work for you on Shabbos, the animal can't do malacha for you, so that applied not only to your shor, it also applied to a chaya and an ov, all the non-domesticated animals, and all the birds as well, so too, avkan, chayov, ov, kayotzidan, they should be included, not only in the din of kefel, but they should also be included in the din of dalid vehe. So, a big animal, let's say your horse, so that should be, if you sold the horse, you should have to go pay 5 times for it, and if you sold a dog, a smaller animal, so you have to pay 4 times for it. That's not the case. That's not the halacha. And the Gemara is asking, why not? After all, if we made the Shor Shor Gzeri Shavah to teach us these dinim, so why doesn't it apply to Dalad Vahay as well? So Amar Rava, Rava answers, because it says the word Shor twice. It says the word Seh twice. Amar Kor Shor V'Seh. And then it says again, Shor V'Seh. Shnei, it says it twice to tell us that you don't carry out the Gzei Rishava further than we've already done, and it's only Shor the Seh in, but the other animals, no. Mide Achrina lo. Now, Rav's Teretz is questioned. Amri Gemara says that implies that the repetition of Shor and Seh was unnecessary, because it was necessary, then it's not called a repetition. So, obviously, the saying the second time of Shor V'Seh is unnecessary. So Gemara says, Amre, hey, miyater. Which one of them is unnecessary? It says Shor twice, it says Seh twice. You're implying that one time it's unnecessary. So which one is it? Elam, if you're going to tell me the second time in the pasuk when it says Shor V'Seh, the Sefer Miyater, the pasuk says, Ki Yignovish Shor O'Seh, that's the first time. Utvacho O Mecharo, Chamisho Bakor Yishalem, Tachas Shor. That's the second time. The Arbat Zon, oh, that's the second time. Tachas HaSeh. So you have twice it says Shor, and twice it says Seh. So the Gemara now says, Ilema Shor V'Seh D'Seifa Miyater, when it says, Chamisho Bakor, Yishalim Tachas HaShor, and Arbat Zon, Tachas HaSeh. That's the 2 times it says Shor and Seh extra, the Nechtov Rachmana, because the Pasuk could have said, Ki Yignov Ish Shor O'Seh, that's the first time. Utvacho. Now we have the Girsa Umecharo, but the pasuk is actually Omecharo. I think the reason why the editors wrote down Umecharo instead of Omecharo, because actually later on we're going to have a drasha, instead of saying Umecharo, it said Omecharo. So they're just carrying it through until we actually come to the drasha. But in any event, I'll read it correctly, because the pasuk should be Omecharo. In any event, Chamisho Bakor, now instead of saying Yishalem Tachas HaShor, it could have just said Tachtov. And instead of saying the Arbatzon Tachas HaSeh, it could have just said Tachtov. So therefore, we want to suggest that the second time it says Shor, and the second time it says Seh, those are Miyatir, those are extra. So one says no. Because Ikaz Rechman HaHochi, if the Torah had actually written it this way, instead of saying Tachas HaShor, it just said Tachtov. And instead of saying Tachas HaSeh, it would have just said Tachtov. You know what I would have said? Hava Mina, I would have said, Boi Shlumei Tisha L'Kolecha V'Yechad. I would have said that if you go and steal an ox, and then you go and sell it, so then you got to pay 5 oxen and 4 sheep. I would have said there's a total of dalid hay, not dalid or hay. It would have been dalid plus hay. That's what I would have said. You're going to tell me, v'chitemo, hoksiv, tachtov, tachtov. It says twice, and therefore one of them is extra. The teacher said that's not the case. Chad tachtov miyater. It could have just said, yishalein, tachas, tachtov, instead of tachas ashor, and then v'arbatzon. So he could have just said that, and I would have known that it means that you pay 4 or 5, because it says the second time, tachtov. So no, No, if you had said just tachtov twice, it's not extra. I would have said you needed it for the following drasha, the Tanya. Yochol gonav shor shavemone yishalim tachtov nigidin. I might have thought that if you steal a shor that's a big, good shor, and it's worth a mana, 100 zuz, that instead you can pay against it, when you're paying the five times, you can pay negidin. Rashi says, negidin, in the taich of the words, vayigva vayomos, so the Targum translates vayigva as v'is nagid, which means, klomar, kichushim ukrovim lamus, that you give a shor on its deathbed, this one that's about to die, it's very, very weak. So I stole a shor that's worth 100 zuz, and I can pay you back with a shor that's worth 3 zuz, a really dinky, about to die shor, and I'll pay you 5 of those, so I'll pay you 15 zuz for the 100 zuz that I stole. You might have thought that that would be acceptable if it didn't tell us. Yishalim tachtov, I would have said that you could play with this negidim. Talmud Lomar, it says a second time, tachtov, tachtov, to teach us that it has to be like the shor that you stole, and not a diminished, weakened, lousy shor. So you can't be talking about that the second shor and the second seah are extra, because it couldn't just say tachtov, tachtov, because we still needed those for other drushes. So therefore, the second time it says shor, and the second time it says seah are needed. So therefore, where is the extra shor in seah? So it says, elo shor v'seah dereisha miyuter. So the first time when it says, kigen ovish shor oseh, those are extra. You know what? It could have said, d'nichtav rachmon of the Torah could have said, kigen ovish utvacho omucharo. Again, we have the word umucharo, but it's really omucharo. So it didn't have to mention shor v'seah. It says, if you steal and sell or shecht it. And then it says, chamisho boko yishalim tachas ashor, v'yarbatzon tachas ashor. Oh, that teaches me that it was a shor and a seah. Now, the fact that it says it again, shor and seh, extra, they're miyutar, so that teaches us again that it applies only to shor and seh and not to other domesticated or undomesticated animals or birds. Where it says, no, that's still not extra. Because of Rahman Hachi, if the Torah had written the way you just said, ki gunov ish utvacho omucharo, if it had just said that, you know what I would have said? Havamina, adagon of trey, v'tovalhu. I would have said, you have to steal both, the shor and the seh. And when you steal both, so then you have to pay 5 times for the shor and 4 times for the seh. But if you don't steal both, then this doesn't apply. So where it says, no. Utvacho kisiv lechad. The word would have been utvacho, that you go and do it to one of them, so it's not both of them. Where it says, still, deima ad degoniv tarvayu mizabin lehu. So I would have said, still, it is that maybe you only have to slaughter one of them, but you have to go and steal both of them in order for this din of dalad vehe to apply. Where it says, no. The pasuk says, again, we have the gear, so umecharo, and we'll read it now, umecharo, even though the pasuk says omecharo, because ksiv lechad. Umecharo comes to teach me that each one alone will require the payment of dalet or the payment of hay. Where it says, still, the ema, have amino ad the gonav trey, maybe you have to steal both, the tovachad, umazbin chad, but maybe you have to steal both, and you're only going to be chayiv in this situation if you actually went and sold one and shechted one. So that's why it has to tell me this lashon. So Gemara says, no, O Micharo, not U Micharo, O Micharo Ksiv. So the O comes to teach us, no, either one or the other. So here, it's not extra. We needed it to teach us all as these dinim. Where it says, no, still, Vakate have amina adagonev tarvayu, that you maybe have to steal both of them, but nevertheless, V'tovachad u'mishayachad, you shechted one, and the other one you left. Or omizabin chad, or you sold one omishayachad, and the other one you left. And only in that situation is there a penalty of dal of the hay. So we're stuck. We need seemingly all of the shor and seh in the beginning and the shor and seh at the end. So how can you learn out that this din applies only to shor and seh and not to the other animals or birds? So where it says, in fact, elo shor de seifa, the second time it says shor, that's extra, and the seh dereisha, and the first time it says seh, those are miyata. Those are the extra words, and that's how we learn out that this din of Dalav Hei only applies to shor and seh and doesn't apply to other animals, the chayos, or to the birds. Why is that? Because the Torah could have written, D'nichtov rachmano ki yignovish shor, not tell us seh, just write shor. Seh would be extra. Ki yignovish shor, utvacho, and again, o mechoro, chamishova kor yishalim tachtov. Here it didn't have to repeat the word shor the second time. The arbatzon tachas seh. So it mentioned only shor in the beginning, in the reisha, and it mentions only seh in the sefer, and therefore the extra seh in the reisha, and the extra shor in the sefer, those are truly extra. Sure, the Seifa, the said the Reisha Lomeli, what's the purpose? Shma Mino Ashor V'Seh in Mideach Rinalo. That's coming to teach us this din that Alad Vehei only applies to Shor and Seh and not to Chayos and not to Ophos and not to inanimate objects. Oh, good drasha. Animar concludes by quoting the Mishnah. Ein Hagonev Acher Haganav Mishalim Tashlumei Kefel. If Reuven is a Ganav and he steals something for Shimon, and then Levi comes along and steals that item for Reuven, so Levi won't have to pay Kefel. That's what our Mishnah said. Now Rav qualifies this. Omar Rav says this was only said Lo Shanu Ella Lifnei Yeyush. This was only if Levi stole it from Reuven before Shimon, the original owner of this item that was stolen by Reuven, had not yet given up hope. Lo Shanu Ella Lifnei Yeyush. But Avoliacha Yeyush, if Shimon had ever given up hope of getting this item back, and now Reuven is kona it, so now Kino Ganav Rishon, Reuven in fact owns it. Now comes along Levi, the second Ganav Sheni, Mishalim Teshulim Kevul Ganav Rishon. So now it belongs to Reuven. He still has to pay the money to Shimon because he stole it from him. But the bottom line is that Reuven has now been kona this with Yeyush, and when Levi steals it from Reuven, he's going to have to pay Kefel to Reuven. That's what Rav says. Now we have again Rav Sheish is telling us. Rav Sheish says this many times. We've had this three or four times in recent Gemaras. Rav Sheish says, Amina, Rav Sheish told Rav in such high regard, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav omalosh ma'isa, that Rav must have been half asleep when he said this memra, because it's wrong. It goes against the Beferish Raisa. The Tanya, the Brisa states Beferish, Rabbi Kiva says, Vipnei ma omra Torah, why did the Torah teach us, Tava chumach ha-mishalim teshulim arba v'chamisha, why did the Torah say that if a person steals something, and then he sells it, or he shachs it, then he pays dal v'hei. Why? Mipnei shenishtoresh b'chet. Rashi explains, also shoroshim, it has deep roots now, this sin. Klomar, nischazek b'chet shekino umahaneu ma'asav. That he was acquiring this, and now he's benefiting from his actions. Now, what are we talking about? Emas. What is Rabbi Kiva talking about? Ilei mipnei yeyush. If you're talking about before, there was yeyush on the part of the original owner, so when this Ganav stole it, the original owner was still hopeful of getting it back. So then, and we turn to Samachesim and Aleph, Mi Iko Nishtarish. How is there a rooting over here? As Rashi says in top Rashi, Holo Ahanu Masav. He accomplished nothing because the Shinu Rishus, Sheshineo Mi Rishusol, Rishus Lokeach, that he now sold this below Yeish. If there was no Yeish, Lekalaman Diomed Kani. Everybody agrees that before Yeish, there's no Kinyan over here. So how is this rooted that he's doing a second sin? Elo, mustn't it be, Rabbi Kiva says, Li'achar Yeish. This is after the original owner gave up hope of ever getting this stolen item back, and now the Ganav goes and sells it, so now he's nishtarish, he's now doing a second sin. But if you're telling me that Yeish is in fact kona, so like Ravid said, then why should it be dal of hay? He's now selling his own thing or shekling his own thing. So it shouldn't be dalu v'hei. So Rav is wrong. That's what Rosh Hashanah says. Rav must have been half asleep. When he said this, it goes against his Beferish Braisa. Gemara says, not necessarily so. Amrei, you could answer up for Rav, Kedama Rava, like Rava had said, in regards to something that we'll learn in Yitzhak Shem in tomorrow's Shir, where Rava says over there, Mibnei Sheshona Bechait. The reason why it's called Dishtarish over here is because he repeats another sin, not the same sin. He's not doing the same thing that it's Nishtarish from the same sin, but he's doing a second sin, as we'll see in Mitzvah in tomorrow's Shia. So in regard to that, Rava said, Mipnei Shoshan Bechei, because he's repeating it, so to say, in that situation, as Rashi says, Ulaolu Mipnei Yeish, we're talking about before Yeish, V'yafapi Delo Ahanu Matzav, and even though he didn't go and accomplish anything because before Yeish there's no change in the ownership, nevertheless he's chayev. So therefore, Mipnei Sheshona Bechait, like Rava says, Hochanami over here, Mipnei Sheshona Bechait, he is doing something again. He's doing another sin. And therefore, that is why he is going to be held liable for the Dalet V'hei. He hasn't yet acquired it, and therefore it is selling the original person, or shechting the original person's animal, and that's why he's chayav dalet v'hei. This is a good break point, although we're still going to be discussing this subject, but we'll stop over here. Everybody should have a wonderful day.